Patrick, tell us a little bit about when you were first diagnosed HIV positive, or when you first found out you've been diagnosed HIV positive.
I had a partner when I lived in London. We were together for about 6 months. I was making him his favorite dinner one evening, and I said to him, like normal people, we use protection all the time, but there were times you just didn't. You know, that's just normal. And I said to him, look, we had unprotected sex a few times. Let's go to the clinic and just get tested, like I've done with my previous partners, and, then we know. And he looked at me and said, I have HIV. And I just went, what? He went, I have HIV. And I went, oh, my God. I said, why didn't you tell me? He said, oh, I thought you knew. And I went, no. You knew I didn't know that at all. I said, look. I said, on Thursday, there's a clinic. It was a Tuesday. I said, let's just go. I said, would you support me? Would you at least be there for me if I am? In my head, I knew that he never took medications. He suffered from a bit of paranoia. So he didn't take any medication. And I knew something about viral loads and stuff. And I realized that must have been through the roof. And I woke up in the morning and he wasn't there. He ran away. I never saw him again. And I went out and got literally obliterated to just cope with the fact of going to the clinic by myself. I couldn't do it sober. And I walked in and found out that I was positive. And funny thing is, I found out when I was 21. And when I was 18 years old, I said to a group of friends, I used to come up with the most random questions just to see what people's reactions were. And one of them was, what would you do if you contracted HIV? And there was three of us. One friend said, oh my God, I can't believe you just asked that question. I said, I'll kill myself. The other one said, I don't know. I don't know what I'll do. You know, I'd just cry, fall apart. And they asked me, what would you do? And I said, I would change my life 180 degrees because whatever lifestyle I was living, clearly it wasn't working. And literally within a month, I packed up everything and I moved back home to Barbados and changed my life 180 degrees.
What was that like for you when you got that initial diagnosis and realized that you were HIV positive?
I went into a state of shock. I did not know anything about it. I knew on the gay scene a lot of guys went self-destructive when they contracted it. They either became really recluse or they lived the entire time in a sauna and they did an umpteen amount of drugs. I just knew it was something to be feared. And it's my mother, who was a nurse, who sat me down and explained to me what it is. And I knew very well in Barbados, if you mentioned HIV, people would just jump out of the house, jump out of the window, to run out of the room. Being gay alone was just difficult. So my diagnosis was, it didn't really sink in. I developed a really bad coke problem that took me every year around the time I got diagnosed, I started falling apart. Not realizing, subconsciously I started drinking or doing substances. I started getting angry. And then after that month period passed, I was fine. But every year around that time, something in my head was telling me that I wasn't dealing with something. And my diagnosis took many years to get over it.
And you say when you were 18, you'd said to your friends, if I ever I'm HIV positive, I'm going to kill myself. When you were diagnosed, was that a thought in your head, or were you determined that I'm gonna live my life HIV positive as fully as I can?
I knew the reason why I moved back home to Barbados is because I knew I had a self-destructive personality, and if I stayed in England, I would have done exactly what I've noticed other people are doing, which was I would have most likely ended up doing a lot more substances. I would have just got out of control, and because I had no family around me, no one to help to reel me in, I would have just most likely end up just killing myself that way. So that's the reason why I just went back home to Barbados in order to prevent myself. If I went self-destructive, it was controlled because substances was frowned upon in Barbados. It's not something that's accepted. You know, I had my work there, I had my entire family, I had my reputation. You had a lot more constrained. It was a bit more controlled. It was like a controlled explosion, basically. So yeah, that's how I dealt with it in that sense.
And how long did it take you to get to the point where you were living your life without being controlled, as you say, and just dealing with the fact you were HIV positive and just living your life as normal as you wanted to?
This is the part where I always say to people it's difficult. No matter how many years go by that you're living with being HIV positive, there's some event that the good Lord will always throw at you that would always hurt you. And that could be you have your family, you have your friends, but then you can meet somebody that you really, really like, and it doesn't work because they're not comfortable with you being positive. And it's not their fault. It's just they just can't. They're not comfortable with it. And that part would initiate fears and scaredness into you. And it's how exposed you are when it becomes to being positive. I threw myself in the deep end. I moved away and lived in a very Catholic society. You know, being gay alone was very difficult. I lived in a very homophobic country. People who didn't understand what HIV was like. I went through a lot of fears and scares from other people, the lack of acceptance for it. It took me, I'm positive, 11 years. I could honestly say maybe it taken me up to about 9 years to be comfortable with it. There are times where, like my medications, for instance, I was actually interviewed by BBC previously on my 9 years of being positive. And what I didn't realize, a month later, I became so ill on my new medications, I was bedridden for 2 months. And in that period of time, I realized I was so sick, so by myself. And when you get ill, you regress into a child form. You want to be comforted and nurtured. I didn't have any family around me. And it was the most horrific experience of my life. And I would never wish it on my worst enemy. And those are times that really bring back the horror of like, oh my God, this is what it's going to be like. What happened if in the future I become sick again? Am I going to be alone? Is there anyone going to be there for me? And that's what brought back my memories of my partner abandoning me. So yeah, it's, you'll be fine when you go through different experiences. And I always think my advice for someone who, when they're positive, don't shy away you. Because when you do that, you basically build up a glass castle that if something happens, it will just all shatter. I'm not saying to go become destructive. I'm saying to embrace life, to try to go out there a little bit more. Because if something bad happens to you, you can take it, but then you get really stronger very quickly as a result of it. So things don't scare you that much.
How have your friends and family reacted to the fact you're HIV positive? Have you had support, or has it been difficult, or has it been a sort of mixture?
They were very supportive. It was hard for my family, especially for my father. But with everything that I've done with myself, with my writing and my work, they're so happy. They're so happy to see someone like myself become positive and try to go out and help other people, use my experiences of my own fears and rational thoughts, the stigma thrown to me, and try to analyze the psychology behind it, try to get into people's heads with it and help them. I have a lot of good support. I can't complain. I have all of my friends are just so impressed to see what I've done with it.
You talk about you writing because you write on the subject. You're very open about the fact that you're HIV positive. You write, you just almost sort of regularly updating about what it's like for you. What's that been like, and what sort of a response have you had from writing about what you're going through?
The response, when I started writing, thing with writing is when you publish something, you don't always get feedback. Not generally. It could take a long time. And it took me about 3 years of writing until a gentleman, the biggest one, to a few of them actually. The first one was a gentleman in Manchester came up to me in the street and said to me, look, I don't fancy you. I was like, oh, okay, shocking. And he said to me, he says, but I need to tell you something. You saved my life. I said, I'm sorry. He said, I just want to say thank you. You saved my life. I said, well, I explain. He said, I sat in the waiting room at MRI, Manchester Royal Infirmary, and I just got diagnosed. And I literally sat outside, and I had my head between my hands, and I was thinking what I can take underneath the sink to kill myself. And I looked up, and there was your article, Deal With It, which literally was my article about myself being in his position of being diagnosed and what my rational fears were. And he said to me, so if it wasn't for your article, I would have killed myself. So thank you very much. I had a guy last year in in Thailand, who somehow messaged me and said to me, I've just read your work, and I just wanted to say thank you so much for all the work that you've done. I've read all your articles. I'm a doctor, and I live with HIV here in Thailand, and it's really lonely, and the things that go through my head. And when I read your work, I felt like you were writing for me. And for Christmas last year, he actually sent me a Buddha painting all the way from Thailand to say thank you so much for contributing.
That's pretty amazing. And how important do you think it is we sort of break through this stigma of HIV, and people are honest about it, and society is honest about it and talks about it. How important do you think that is?
I think when it comes to breaking the stigma, I think you have to break the stigmas that are personal to yourself. I noticed living in England, people are not very open about discussing certain things, their emotions and feelings. And it's like a taboo. And I always said, you can't discuss HIV if you don't discuss sex. It is usually a sexually transmitted disease. And if you can't be open about what you did last night with somebody, you're going to find it very difficult to discuss what you did with last night with somebody and whether you use protection or not, especially with something that is related towards it. To break the stigma, I think the more people that come out and are open and honest with it, the more it diffuses everybody. I went to work once and I was just about to go do the meeting at LGBT for about HIV and stuff. And I'm here promoting people. And one of my colleagues went, oh, no, you shouldn't discuss HIV. You know, your status at work, you know, keep it quiet. And I went, oh, my God, I'm here trying to promote people. And you're so, oh, it's good that you're doing what you're doing. But yet you want me not to discuss it when I'm at work. I said, that's hypocritical. You know, be open and help people, but don't mention it when you're at work. I can't do that. I'm sorry. You know, if I'm sick, it's usually as a result of my medications or something like that. I'm almost, you know, not always, but certain times. But if no one talks about it, then you're still asking me to hide behind it, to hide. And I don't. I'm sorry. I'm out there. I'm published. I'm on TV at times. If I'm one step in the supermarket and say, oh my God, you know, what is it like to take your medications? And you look at me like, oh my God. Yeah, well, what is it like? I should be able to discuss it like anyone's popping an aspirin. You know, that's my ride. But it's people's fears sometimes.
And it's funny because you mentioned the facts about your medication. And how important do you think it is that people who aren't sure of their status find out and get the help that they need?
Well, last week was HIV testing week. And the whole government and all the campaigners got together to promote that a week, not just a day. It is important for anybody. I have a girlfriend back home in Barbados who contracted HIV through a tongue piercing. I have an ex-partner who contracted it here in England from getting a tattoo. There are people out there who have contracted HIV. It has nothing to do with sex. But they would have never found out. I mean, they found out when they started getting ill. One of my friends contracted it. His leg swollen up, his tongue could even fit in his mouth. My ex, who got it from a tattoo, he had 56 tumors in his body. His abdomen exploded as a result of him having HIV. And that's the damaging aspect about it. Another guy that I know got it for 10 years. You have to go out. People who are positive are far more healthy in a sense because we get regular checkups. How many of you outside there who have an ailment, but don't go to the doctor? You're too afraid to discuss anything personal with somebody. And it is important for yourself, your self-dignity, to get a checkup. If you have a car, you of course take it to the garage. You're constricted by law to make sure you have an MOT. Think of yourself as a vehicle. Try to see what is wrong with yourself or just get checked because it's good to know. It is extremely important because in everyday life, if you don't get checked up, especially with, you know, if you're sexually active, especially in the gay community and stuff, even for straight people, I've met a lady who was straight and she found it very difficult. You know, she contracted off of her partner, but she would have never found out if he didn't have the dignity to at least tell her.
How possible is it to live a full life being HIV positive?
Look how beautiful I am. I'm fine. You can live a full life, but it all depends on how you maintain your life. Those who are, I found out straight away, basically. I went straight to the clinic and I could have literally gone, oh, I'm fine. I never took that chance to go to the clinic. I am one of these people that want to find out. I took the chance, found out, went on medications early, and I'm okay. I've noticed those who have had HIV for a longer period of time have issues and resistance to the drugs that they take, and they have more issues in the future. They either get pneumonia, they get sick, because they don't want to get blood tests and aspects like that. So you can live a normal life, but start taking care of yourself. Find out about yourself then, basically.
It's obviously World AIDS Day. Just tell us a little bit about that. How important do you think that is?
I never found it that important for myself. I grew up in Barbados. It's not something that really affected me at that time. The people who've contributed a large amount of knowledge and care towards HIV, I never thought they did anything for me until I actually started writing. And I started working with the organizations and listening to other people's stories. And I think it is an amazing day, because in my speech, I said it's not the fact that we're remembering HIV, remembering a day and paying tribute. It's almost changed our lives. HIV gave me a purpose. And I always said it was one of the best things that ever happened to me, because I changed my life. It made me, I never knew what on earth I was going to do with myself. And through HIV, I found a community. And through that community, I was able to have a voice. And I was promoted. I've learned respect for myself. I've learned to take care of myself. I've learned to put myself forward at times. I've learned the empathy of others. I've learned that I have an ability to speak, and that I can actually have an ability to change somebody's life. And it's a remembrance that it brought a lot of us together. It changed how we had a perspective on each other. It brought fears, but it also brought respect and care and love and understanding and the ability to respect each other in a larger sense. A community got together. And I think it's important to honor the destruction that it brought, but also the life that it brought for many others.
You mentioned there the speech, because you're going to be giving the closing speech at the AIDS vigil here in Manchester, in Sackville Gardens. Just tell us a little bit about that.
That's actually a big, proud moment for myself. I have been doing a lot of work for almost five, six years. And to be given the opportunity to close the ceremony, it's a big thing for me. It's an honor. I'm quite speechless and a bit tearful for it, because I've worked so hard to get where I am today. And to be given an opportunity is a great thing.
And it's okay, take your time. You mentioned part of your speech there. You say being diagnosed HIV positive was the best thing that ever happened to you. You talk about how it can bring people together. Some people may be shocked by that.
Yeah, a lot of people will be shocked by that. And if anyone read my articles, understand that there's a large honesty and sadness that comes with it. I am blunt because that's my way of protecting myself. I realized long, long ago that the more forward I was with certain aspects gave way for other people to get that courage and strength. Yeah, I lost it.
It's okay. I want to ask you another question, actually. World AIDS Day, you're giving the closing speech, and you know, you're talking about people that are HIV positive, people that have sort of may not be. Is this when it comes to World AIDS Day, is it a case of remembering people that have passed away and remembering people that are HIV positive, or is it sort of a mixture of both? Are we looking sort of forward and back, if you will?
I think it's a mixture of both. I've not really attended a lot of the ceremonies. I've always been in different countries for things like this. It is remembrance for the past, present, and the future. It's a chance to give thanks to a lot of the organizations for the help that they've done. It's a chance for people to get together. There are still people out there who are still passing, who are still dying as a result of it. Not always generally as a result of the virus itself. Sometimes it's a lot of the psychological aspect. And for events like this, it brings the community together. And it's a matter of respect. HIV does not just affect the gay community. It affects every other person. It's not a prejudiced disease. And I think a day like this is amazing, because this is a part where the community gets together and actually accepts aspects. And oh, I lost it.
Oh, no, I'll ask you one thing. Don't worry about that. 11 years ago, when you were first diagnosed, could you envision that 11 years from then you'll be giving the closing speech on World AIDS Day in Sackville Gardens, which is promising to be packed out, it usually is. Could you have envisioned that 11 years ago?
I was always media hungry when I was a kid. But I never thought I would be doing something as honorable as this for myself. You envision yourself, oh, you'd be famous, you'd be doing this, you'd be doing that, pictures of magazines, but you didn't know how you get there. And I can give myself a pat on the back to say, yeah, I am very proud to know that. I never envisioned it, but this is the best envision this is the best ending I could ever have gotten, and hopefully give way to something more. But yeah, I'm proud to know that 11 years ago, I did feel that 11 years ago, I made a point of trying to find out a lot about it. I asked so many questions to so many people that I met. I analyzed why people were scared of me, why people didn't accept it. I really wanted to find out a lot. And it paid off. All the questions, the way I was, asking people things, trying to sit down there and speak to psychologists about the behavior patterns towards people, going out there and putting myself in the same situation sometimes just to get to see how many different responses I got to formulate an idea, an understanding of human behavior. And I'm proud of everything I've done. Yeah.